This is a Wellbeing Australia podcast. Wellbeing Australia is a not-for-profit network bringing together people and organisations committed to developing healthy relationships that lead to individual and community wellbeing, with a particular emphasis on the areas of family, education and the workplace. In this podcast, Wellbeing Australia's Donna Newbury is speaking with Madhavi Parker, the Managing Director of Positive Minds Australia, about resilience in children.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Donna Newbury. I'm the Chair of Wellbeing Australia, and I'm delighted this morning to speak to Madhavi. She's the Director of Positive Minds Australia, based down in South Australia, but she works a lot interstate. And Madhavi has a strong background in psychology, counselling, and works quite extensively in the education system, in schools, and with families. She's also authored many books on resilience, well-being, social and emotional intelligence, and a few other things. So she's certainly an expert in this area, and I'm delighted to welcome you. Good morning, Madhavi.
Good morning, Donna. What a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, we're delighted to have you. Thank you so much for giving up your time to do this podcast for the members and followers of Wellbeing Australia. We're so excited to have the opportunity to ask you a few questions, if that's okay.
Yes, please. It's my pleasure to be here, Donna.
Wonderful. Well, first off, given that you're such an expert in the education and schools area, I guess the question that many people ask is, how do you define resilience in children?
That's a great question. And look, resilience is really on a continuum, and it's a lifelong process. So if we're looking broadly at resilience in children, we're really looking for their ability most of the time to be able to keep things in perspective with relatively good clarity and then bounce back from adversity within a reasonable amount of time. Now, the interesting thing, of course, Donna, for all of us who live and work with children is, by nature of being a child, you're kind of childish, and part of being childish is also that children aren't particularly resilient yet. Well, certainly not consistently resilient yet. So when we're defining it, we have to be careful, because it's very normal and healthy to have inconsistencies in your resilience, both as a child, as an adult, because it's influenced by so many different things. But certainly, you know, as a child, until you're in your 20s, the brain is still developing and growing, and life experience is still very limited. And so their resilience can very easily change from one moment to the next, because the brain is so much reliant on responding appropriately to emotion. And children are emotional and impulsive more than they are cognitive thinkers a lot of the time. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. And such important points, I think, to remember that we often, as an adult, interpret others' activities or reactions through our own lens. But as you rightly point out, you know, it's such a different framework and such a different mindset in a child than an adult.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, I guess building on that then is the importance of resilience in well-being, what you think that relationship is.
The relationship between resilience and well-being, look, as you know, in your work, Donna, resilience and well-being are deeply connected. And you really, I don't believe you can have one without the other. You know, well-being is influenced by our resilience levels, and our resilience is affected by how healthy our well-being is. So, you know, if we look at those two states, I guess resilience being on that continuum and that ability for us as adults, and also, you know, in relation to children, to be able to manage difficulty, manage those natural stumbling blocks that are very much
part of life. And perhaps if I come back another time and speak with you, we can really look at how to nourish both of those things in children themselves. But at this point in time, you know, when we're looking at our resilience and resilience in children, it's that ability to go, oh, well, this thing just happened. I wasn't expecting it. And life's a little bit like that. I'm a little, you know, I'm upset because it's normal to be upset or angry or disappointed or frustrated, but I know what to do with those feelings. I know how to balance myself enough to then do something with that problem that is constructive and helpful so that I can return to a healthy state of well-being. And then when we look at well-being itself, you know, well-being is really that point in time. It's that state of, it's lots of things, isn't it, Donna? It's our physical health, it's our mental health, it's our emotional health, it's our ability to generally feel pretty good in our body and our mind. And so if you're relatively resilient and you have the tools that underpin resilience, well, it's easier, I guess, to have a healthy well-being because you have those tools to keep pretty balanced. But then if your well-being's out of whack, so if you're physically feeling rotten, if you're mentally feeling a bit mixed up and really at the moment, you know, I see so many people after this big year in 2020 whose minds are just so scrambled that even though they used to have good well-being, they're like coming to me and asking me, what do? I don't even know. I know the bits around mindfulness. I know the bits about exercising, but how do I unscramble my mind? So, you know, resilience, if your well-being, you know, if you're not feeling mentally balanced, if you're not feeling physically balanced, and if you're not feeling emotionally well, then you're not going to be resilient. So I hope I've explained that well enough that I don't believe we can have one without the other, because I think they're very much interrelated.
You're so right. And I think a lot of people do overlap them, rightly so. I think very often they clearly are not the same thing, but they are so integral to each other. Mm. And to your point, you know, I know if I'm not feeling well or in pain, I'm less likely to have a sense of well-being. Mm-hmm. And similarly, if my emotional well-being or my mental well-being isn't where it needs to be, I find I'm less resilient. So mm-hmm. I think it's got such an interesting interplay between them, and although they're discrete and different. So great points. Thank you for that. Really interesting. Mm-hmm. So I guess the question is for our listeners, you know, would be the top tips you have for parents and maybe even teachers to nurture well-being in children?
Yeah, absolutely. So it starts, and certainly, you know, I think if we look at it broadly for all adults working, you know, before we go into those points, anybody who works with or lives with children knows all too well, you know, it's emotional work. It's very taxing in that we spend all day with inexperienced, underdeveloped minds. And I mean that with absolute respect for young people. It's not their fault. But they're on an experiment, right? If you've only been alive for 5 years or 10 years or 15 years, everything is new to you. So they're navigating this life and what it means to experience challenge and adversity, but they're doing it with this underdeveloped brain that is still very much under construction. So what that means for parents and for educators and health professionals and you know, anybody that has anything to do with children is that we are very much, you know, they're very reliant on us to co-regulate, to help them make sense of the world and help them be calmer. But of course, because of that contagion of emotion where we feel whatever is going on in front of us. So if you're a parent or you're an educator or a health professional and a child is really losing it and feeling emotional or impulsive, or they're struggling with their behavior or their communication, we feel it, we absorb it. And so our well-being is very easily triggered by their well-being, but also by their emotional state. So your question of you know, what are the tips for, you know, for educators and for parents is the most important thing is that we begin with making sure that parents and anyone working with children, whether it's in education or health or allied health, is that they actually know how to look after their own well-being. And until we know how to look after, and not just how to go, I need to look after myself, because we all know we need to do that, but actually knowing that there are hundreds of tools to really break down that emotional well-being, which is the quality of our self-talk, the, you know, what we actually think about, how often we're thinking about those things, and how we manage our stress, and then our physical well-being, you know, what are we doing with our bodies? Are we looking after them? Do we know how to look after them in a way that fits in with our lives? How are the quality of our relationships with ourselves and with others, and also all that balance and harmony around our purpose and how we're spending our time. So that's the first tip, is know how to do that and know how to do it for yourself, because until you're looking after your well-being, you can't look after anyone else's well-being properly. So to nurture it in children, we've got to first nurture it in ourselves, and we've got to learn to do that. We've got to commit to that, just like we commit to going to a doctor's appointment. We need to make an appointment with ourselves every day, which I know as a parent of three young children is intensely difficult, and also as somebody who works as well and does all the other things that, you know, everybody is juggling. So it's hard, but if we're not modeling this to our children, particularly this generation that has to learn to live with devices and social media and constant interruption of email everywhere, right? You know, I remember my first job at Autism SA about 20 years ago, and if I wasn't in the office, someone answered the phone and said, Madhavi's not in the office, she'll call you back when she's there. Well, now if I'm not in the office, I will catch every moment I can to catch up on my email, which is on my phone. So we've got to do this for our children. So first tip is know how to look after your well-being, the emotional, physical, relationship and balance and harmony aspects. So the next tip is to role model, and also do for yourself, rest. We've got to rest. It's hard to rest when you live and work with children, but you know, rest looks different at different stages in our life. So find whatever way you can step away from the demands of parenting and work and caring for others and volunteering and all these roles we love to play and that are integral, you know, in our lives, but learn to step away, even if it's 15 minutes a day, where you just move away into some space that is just for you. So so would you like me to keep going? Have we got time for a few more tips?
Well, I think it sounds like we might come back to those, because I'd love to do an entire session with you on those, because I think that is so important. So, you know, I absolutely agree that until you have that sense of well-being in yourself, it's very difficult to nurture and encourage it in anybody else, and it comes across as much more authentic when you're practicing your own well-being and looking after that. So thank you for those, that's incredible. I guess the last question for today, and we must get you back, so much wealth of information and knowledge, so we'll definitely do some more podcasts in greater detail at a later stage. But just for today, to wrap up, I guess the question is positive psychology. I mean, it's clear that you have a very strong positive approach around how do you proactively manage your well-being and those of others. But I guess the question is why you think positive psychology is the best approach to in the well-being space?
Thank you, Donna. I love, you know, what I really love about positive psychology is psychology historically, as you know, focused on the deficit in the person and how to, I guess, fix that deficit through a range of different ways that, you know, were very much helpful and useful. But what I like the addition, the add-on of positive psychology is it's really focusing on has always been important to me in my work, which is let's look at what's already working first of all. So let's actually look at where things are going well in your life, which is crucial for well-being, because if you are thinking about all your problems, and we all have problems that come up from time to time, it's very, very hard to have that optimism that is crucial for your well-being. We all need hope. The opposite of hope is hopelessness and helplessness, which are all, you know, interact with anxiety and depression. So what I love about positive psychology is it focuses on what is going well, it focuses on building from that point, and it focuses on our strengths, you know, what you know, our character and what we already know about ourselves to be useful and constructive and good in us. So I love that, because when people come to see me and they're struggling, my first question is let's look at where things are thriving. Let's focus on where you are getting those positive emotions and where you are in flow and where you're thriving and the good relationships and where, you know, what you like about yourself and your life. And it's just an ideal place to start rather than in the doom and gloom, which instantly, you know, makes you feel like, oh, I've got all of this stuff and it's so burdensome to carry. So I think it's crucial for our sense of wellness to know, you know, to keep our mind focused on those positives.
You're so right. And it gives you the energy and strength. And I think really reminds you that you're well equipped and you're in a good place to achieve what it is you want to achieve, rather than seeing the top of the mountain. You understand you've got all the equipment and support to get there. So you're absolutely right. I think such an important part and mindset. So completely agree with you. I know that we've spoken about this before, and Wellbeing Australia is so aligned with that. It really is our philosophy, is how do you build on the strengths rather than see the gaps, and understanding where you need to get to and getting the support to do that. Well, Madhavi, sorry we've run out of time for today, but so delightful speaking to you. Thank you so much for your wisdom and sharing your passion, your energy, your knowledge in this area. It's quite contagious and lovely to chat to you. We must get you back sometime soon, and hopefully with video next time. But in the interim, if people do want to connect with you, how can they do that?
Thank you, Donna. And firstly, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to speak with you, because you are a wealth of knowledge. So it's always a joy to connect with you. As far as getting in touch with me, so our website is positivemindsaustralia.com.au, and there's a contact form there and some free resources as well. And the most relevant books to this space for our podcast today would be the second edition of The Resilience and Wellbeing Toolbox, which is a program for parents and educators and health professionals. So if they want to read more about how that preventative psychology and positive psychology approach to building those tools in all young people, that's a good resource perhaps. And Educator Wellbeing, which was also released recently, has hundreds of practical tools in there as well to nourish your wellbeing.
Wonderful. And are those available to the listeners? Are those resources on your website and available?
They are indeed. So everything's there on the website. I think there's a link to the books page there, and the free resources under free resources. Mm. And my books are also available worldwide. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much for that generosity. And I'm sure many of our listeners will go to that website and access those free resources, because, you know, that it's such an important thing, I think, to share that information and knowledge and access, because there sometimes are wonderful resources out there that people may not be aware of, that and that's a critical part of what we try and do, is really just provide knowledge and information on where people can get more resources and tools. Madhavi, it's been such a pleasure as usual. And thank you so much for speaking to us today. And look forward to chatting again in the future.
Oh, I so look forward to chatting again with you, Donna. Thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to a Wellbeing Australia podcast.